from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think ultimately if something does get done, it's going to come in something that probably some fans won't like. It'll end up being one of the prospects you don't love that was moved with something else. But I think in order to get something done, he has to just do that. I also think there's degrees of it too. There's overpaying, and then there's GMs asking for banana stuff. You're like, come on, you're not going to give you four pieces for a guy that has no extension. That's kind of crazy.
Chad DeDominicis, expected Buffalo. The only thing I don't agree with there is I don't know that there's any... I mean, of course, some fans... There's always going to be a group of fans that's mad at anything. There's enough fans. You can't get 100% for anything. They make a prospect pick trade for a top six forward. I don't know that there's an amount they could pay where fans would be really that upset. They might not love it, but the respect that Adams would gain from... Like, doing a Murray trade. Murray overpaid. So for Evander Kane, especially. When he traded for Evander Kane 7 years ago. Actually, wait a minute. That's 10 years ago now. Holy cow. That was 10 years ago. When he traded for Kane. And Kane was a good player. But he wasn't like a superstar. But he was a good player. And what did they trade? They traded a good rental in Drew Stafford. They traded a top four defenseman in Tyler Myers. They traded not one, but two of their higher-level prospects, Joel Armia and Brennan Lemieux. They traded a first-round pick on top of it. Did they also trade a second-round pick? And they took a bad contract from Winnipeg and Zach Bogosian. They gave him like seven things. Seven things. Was that a good trade? Probably not, in hindsight. But I'm here to tell you that if Adams made that exact trade right now, he would gain instant respect from a lot of the fans. Because it's, hey, you're not doing it. Murray did it more than once. He did it like four times, which is why he got in trouble. Well, one of the reasons why he got in trouble. One trade like that where you're overpaying, you can afford that. You got a bank. You got a bank of prospects here, and you got your picks, and I just can't see why they can't overpay. So, sure, some fans wouldn't like if they traded for Martin Nečas, first round pick, Savoy, and Roseanne. Is that a lot for him? Probably. But I think there would be a respect factor there if they made a deal like that. It would, because it would be the announcement through your actions, not your words, that it's time to win. 803-0550 is the phone number. Recapping yesterday's disappointing July 1st, which has become a theme in Buffalo Sabres history. Brian in Arcade's next. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you look down the hallway to pick your GM. I mean, I think the Bills have tried this route, and you got the similar results. You don't get a creative GM who puts these things together. They sell this little line this year. Oh, we just got to be harder to play against. So I guess that means drag up the dregs of the league and sign them and just people who hit. Okay. Well, the day after the Middlestat trade, I agree with Paul from Buffalo, dude. Called in, got told, oh, no, you're wrong. That's a move they had to make, had to have it. I don't understand that. 25 years old, you went through all the injuries. You drafted him. You developed him. You need offense. Now you have no offensive players. And, yeah, it certainly looks like, you know, this owner, it looks like we operate with a firm cap underneath the real cap because we go cheap, man. Look down the hallway again. Oh, Don Coronado, a leftover from Ralph Kruger's staff. Yeah, you can be head coach for 3 years. It's what it looks like. And then I got told, oh, no, you're wrong, because they paid some of their prospects. I mean, they do the bare minimum. You are rooting for the Kansas City Royals, the Cincinnati Reds, the Oakland A's. That's the team you're rooting for. Hopefully all these prospects kind of mature at one point and you can make kind of one run. But you can see, I mean, the gaze in Buffalo is we look down. The bar is low. The bar is not high at all. You're not even in the running for not even one kind of middling level free agent. It's always who's the low end, who's the slim, who's the value, who wants to be in Buffalo. It's all these little phrases. And all that is, all Adam says, is it's all an exercise in how do we lower the bar and buy a little bit more time. I think your best bet now is, yeah, I mean, hopefully Savoy's really great. Oslin, somebody out of nowhere. Maybe they'll push Hellenis like into the rotation right away. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to get all this scoring?
Yeah,
yeah.
I know
the bar in Buffalo is low. The expectations are low. It's just make the playoffs, and I don't even care if you get swept. Just make them. It's just not. You're not even a real team.
It's all thanks, Brian, for the call. It's there. And by the way, they are right now. There are only three teams that are further away from the cap than the Sabres are. That's it. Three teams further away from the cap. So are they working with an internal cap? I mean, they bought out Jeff Skinner. And at the moment, I don't see where they've used the money. Other than, did they just pocket it? Have they used the money? Because what right now, like, why did they buy out Skinner? It was, I thought, because, okay, we're going to save $7.5 million, which we're going to help use to win right now. We can use that money. And also, we don't have a spot for him in the top six anymore. Right? And I think maybe even Adam said that yesterday. But staring at the roster right now, this is why I do still want to believe that there's another move coming. Because as of right now, there is a spot in the top six for Jeff Skinner. At this second, there is a spot for Skinner. He is a more accomplished player and was a better player even last year in his decline than the guy they signed that most closely resembles him in Jason Zucker. Again, in the last 3 years, Skinner 92 goals, Zucker 49. Last year, Skinner's down year, he had 10 more goals than Zucker did. So they did not upgrade there. There should be a spot available for him still. But I guess the point there would be, the understanding would be, you have a limited buyout window. You have a week. You have a week to do it, basically. So if you don't get anything done, well, you might have to do it anyway, because if something comes up in the summer, then, well, you can't then go back and buy out Skinner in August. You had to have already done it. That's why I have to believe they are constantly searching and they should still be acting desperate. Nikolai Ehlers, Martin Nietzsche, one of these top six guys that might be available at some point in time. And you know what? Like, the Ehlers idea, I saw a debate about that because he's got a one-year contract. And, oh, what if he doesn't tell you? What if he tells you he doesn't want to come there? Like, you just, at some point, you got to take a risk. You got to bite the bullet. You got to try. You might never get that done if you don't take a risk, if you swallow some problem with the player or with the contract somewhere. If you wait and wait and wait for the perfect player on the perfect contract that wants to play here, that fits into your system, you might never make a trade like that. You might never, ever get there. And on the, you know, that's it's dark. It's kind of depressing to think about. Like the idea that, well, you're rooting for the Kansas City Royals or the Oakland A's. They're gonna spend the least, and they're gonna be what in the Moneyball movie with Brad Pitt when he goes to in the movie he goes to meet with the A's owner, and he's like, I need a little bit of help. Yeah, I just need a little bit more. Like, he wants to spend a little bit more on players. And the owner's like, we're not going to compete with these high payroll ball clubs. We're not going to compete with the Yankees. We're not going to compete with the Red Sox. It's like, we're going to do the best we can with the resources we have available. And that is how, it's hard to not feel that that's what the Sabres are right now. That, yeah, I mean, the 13-year playoff drought impacts us a lot. That they're just going to be okay with middling success. And I hope I'm wrong on that. I don't know how it changes. Their history, you know, their history says they're never going to have the long period of success, because it's really only happened once ever where they were a consistent contender with a core group of pieces. Like, do I have to go back to the French Connection? They've had good teams. They've had great teams since the French Connection, which was like their first team. They walked into the league with it. Since then, look at their history. What does their history tell you? The Hasek teams that went to the finals, well, that went to the finals once, were they a consistent Stanley Cup contender? And how long did that last? 3 years? And before he left, and then Briere and Drury, 05, 06, 06, 07, two of the greatest teams we've ever seen in their history. How long did that last? 2 years. What the Bills have right now, which they also had in the 90s, but they have right now, is a long period of sustained contention. And they have a coach and a GM that are a big piece of it. But they have one individual that leads it all. It's football is so different in that you hit on the quarterback like they did with Josh Allen, and boom, there's your ticket to 10 years of sustained contention. You are always going to be a contender as long as that dude is playing at the level he's at. So you find that one guy, and it changes the whole course of your franchise. Hockey is not quite like that. I mean, if you land on a McDavid, that can happen. But otherwise, you gotta build it. You gotta retain it. And I mean, this team can't get out of the building phase, let alone the retaining phase.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
How confident are we that they can do what the Bills have done when you can't just hit on one quarterback and then you're fine? Like, you've got to hit on everything. I don't know, like, should I just, the Tampas of the world, the Floridas of the world, shouldn't I look at Florida and think, well, why can't I do that too? I'm not betting they're going to, but why can't I? What was Florida? Florida was a laughingstock. Florida was not anything of significance. They weren't a respectful organization in the NHL. Most of the times they were in the headlines, it was people that wanted them to move out of Florida to, like, Hamilton, right? They were good, you know, kind of like the Sabres. They were good right away in their existence. They make the finals in 96. And then were they ever good again after that? A team was a joke. Organization was a joke. No fans, no winning, no great players. And somehow... is it through the right management? They hire Bill Zito. And there's a group on Twitter, I'm sure, right now that's going to be ready to tell me, like, oh, the Sabres interviewed Bill Zito. Maybe that would have done it. Maybe he's the answer. They land on a Barkov high in the draft as a great number one center. They start making some good decisions. They get good. And then they are willing to make giant trades like the Tkachuk trade and others. And, oh, there you go, Stanley Cup. And it's not only Stanley Cup, and they are built to contend for Stanley Cups for years. I mean, to push back on a little bit of the sentiment of the caller there of... it's just never going to be good. It's never going to be good. They're the Royals. They're the A's. Royals won the championship too, by the way. But that's who they are. That's who the Panthers were. And I'm watching them right now parade around South Florida in the ocean, at the beach, at the elbow room, at their parade, celebrate with the Stanley Cup. And 5 years ago, that organization, that franchise, was as big of a joke as the Sabres feel right now. So I don't want to resign myself to this has to be forever, because then you would never have a bar. Then you would never have expectations. Then, you know, they'd sign a bunch of fourth liners on July 1st and we'd just be like, all right, fine, that's what they are. You should get mad. You should get angry. You should hold your team to a higher standard than that. You should want to feel like you're in the NHL. You should want to have fun thinking about transactions. You should want to believe that your team someday can sign a Steven Stamkos. The Bills were in a different sport, and I just made the Allen comparison. The Bills were a joke. The Bills were a laughingstock. The Bills didn't feel like they were in the NFL. And then, oh look, a couple years down the road, how fun was it when they signed Von Miller? I know that hasn't worked out the way we hoped, but how fun was that? Because in sports, there's two things that are really fun about being a sports fan. One, by a mile, is winning. Winning is a lot of fun. Number two is transactions. Number two is the months and months and months between the games where you're still thinking about the team and you're still interested in the team and you want to see your team make big moves, make exciting moves. You want to daydream about, oh, what this player could be in a Sabre uniform. And for decades, at least, other than the 1 year they got Ehrhoff and Leno, they've never even given you that day after. They've never given you, I mean, they haven't been giving us the wins, that's fun, but they also haven't given you the trades, the daydreaming about the hope about, oh, look at this new guy. This could be great. Neither has happened. Want to build some lines? Josh, you want to build some lines? You got some Sabres lines ready to go?
Yeah, we could fire up the cap-friendly line builder because we won't be able to do that for much longer.
All right, yeah, fire up some, we got some NHL music we could fire up here real quick. We've got a new roster to look at. Let's assume for this exercise, let's figure out like what this looks like. We've got moves that have been made and there still could be more to come, but let's do this based on their current roster. What would the lines look like if opening night was tonight? What's this thing really look like? Let's figure it out. All right. Line one. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I got J.J. Paterka, Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch. Left to right.
Same.
Okay.
Real quick on that. The reason I wouldn't put Paterka back with Cousins and Quinn is I do like the idea more of having just one crazy good top line and then a middle six, rather than a top six and a bottom six. So I think the best chance you have for that is with Paterka on the top line. Line two?
Benson, Cousins, Quinn.
We're going to be in lockstep. We might have the exact same thing here. Yeah, Benson, Cousins, and Quinn. That line, I'd like to believe, could become a really good defensive line. Benson is so impressive to me in that department. I think he's going to be a great two-way player. Cousins has a ton of work to do in that department, and Quinn, I think, is actually underrated. Benson in the top six, though, is not what you should be counting on. He was very impressive to me last year. You could see how he thinks the game, but he has a ways to go with his skating. He's slow at 18 years old. Now, that can improve over time, and I would expect is going to improve over time. I'd expect it's going to improve this year. But what type of jump am I getting? He had 30 points last year. Am I getting 50 from him? Am I getting a big jump? I guess I don't know what to expect from him offensively, which is why I am open to him grabbing a spot in the top six. But at the moment, it feels like they're counting on it, and that seems risky. Line three.
I've got Zucker, Savoy, Greenway.
We're going to have the same lines here.
I hate that line, though. I really wish it wasn't Greenway on the right wing for that line. I didn't know who else to put there, though. I mean, you look at the rest of the options, and you have Sam Lafferty, Peyton Krebs, Abbey Cabell, Malenstein, and then you have guys in Rochester. So are you going to bring someone up and put them on the third line on the right wing with a rookie center?
No, I think Greenway is fine on the third line. So for me, though, this is more... Like, that's what I have, too. It's more what I would do, or not even that. It's what I'm hoping for. It's what I'm rooting for, more than what I think's going to happen. If I were guessing what they're going to line up with opening night, I'm guessing Krebs is on the third line and Savoy's not in the lineup. That would be my guess. But what I'm rooting for, what's the best-case scenario for them right now? The best-case scenario for them is that Matt Savoy looks awesome. Looks like Benson did in training camp last year and wins a job. And then, okay, we got to figure out where to put him. Well, third line center makes a lot of sense, right? Bump Krebs back down to four. So I'm not necessarily predicting Savoy's going to open the season as their third line center, but I do think at the moment their best case scenario is he was a top 10 pick. He lit up the juniors 2 years in a row. Last year, he got a few games in with the Amerks and looked good. And the hope would be, all right, year three, after you've been drafted, you can do this. You could play 14 minutes a night and give me 15 to 20 goals or more. Rookies show up in the league all the time in surprise. And I think the best case scenario is Savoy. And by the way, if he was in the lineup, like you mentioned Greenway, I wish I could do better than that. I'm actually fine with it because you've got Zucker on the left, who's a veteran guy who could score goals, and then you have a bigger body, Greenway, who you might think, all right, you're not going to push the kid at center around.
I think that
giving me one big body on that line.
I think Zucker and Greenway played together in Minnesota, too.
Also that.
They probably had a little bit of crossover at the end there.
Yeah. Line four, you've got I've got Krebs, Lafferty, and Obe Kubel, but I guess you could...
I have Lafferty, Krebs, Obe Kubel. Like, it's...
Yeah, Malinstein, it's funny. We just built lines, and neither of us had the guy they just traded a second-round pick for in the lineup. I mean, someone is always injured, so Malinstein would probably still play a lot, but yeah, that's what I got. That's what I got right now. That's, to me, without a trade, that's the best-case scenario for me.
I think that's the only, like, key piece to the puzzle here is, like, you need to make another trade because if not, this is the line. This is the lineup. Like, yeah. There's no way to mix it around. I don't think there's any other way that this lineup could be more effective.
Again, though, that's what I'd be rooting for. Is Savoy wows everybody at camp and wins a job? If I were predicting it, though, it's Krebs and the third line, and Lafferty is your fourth line center,
and then Malenstein's on the fourth line left wing.
Yep. Yeah. I think that is at the moment that's their most likely lineup. Who's your opening night? Okay, which, by the way, we found out yesterday is going to be against the Kings, which is a little weird.
Who's your 13th forward if that happens? Is it Savoy or is it someone else, like another rookie, or is it like a Brett Murray still?
I don't know if you want it to be a rookie because then he's not playing.
True.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about a Lucas Rusek? Like
that,
like,
would be the guy.
Yeah, that, like, I'm trying to think like who your backup guy is if it's not. If Savoy's not in the lineup and Malenstein's not your 13th forward.
Honestly, just sign anybody at that point.
Right.
I'm not even worried about it. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get Paul Hamilton in next on the moves yesterday. They are harder to play against, but do they have enough scoring to go with it? Get Paul's thoughts on that. Also on Savoy a little bit. He is not at development camp, Savoy. But development camp's ongoing today, 9:30. Paul will be on hand, so we'll get some chatter in on that as well. Stay tuned. We'll talk free agency with Paul Hamilton coming up next. Sneaky Joe on Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.